Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's like craze in the sky. Sometimes I want to do something. Y'all, we are back. This is the Juice Radio Show. So let's get back into what we were talking about. We were getting a little bit of insight on this weekend and how everybody felt. I asked the question of I asked the question of what do you think the solution is to tackling police brutality in the Black community, and do you feel protesting will create a solution or more problems, and if so, how? So I'm going to let y'all, you know, do y'all thing on that. Does anybody have any feedback for me?
I just want to kind of hop in where Wayne was talking about. Yeah. He doesn't feel like that, looting solves anything. And I would have to agree. I don't think looting solves anything. And I think we were just saying before we went off break that, I was saying specifically that, you know, even though looting doesn't solve anything, and even though some people may be against protests, or some people may be against certain things.
Yeah.
Everybody has a place in trying to fight what we're trying to fight right now. You may not be one of the people that want to go out there and be a part of a protest or want to go out there on the front lines. Maybe the best thing you can do is just use your voice at home, you know, and just educate people in your family about it. And just, you know, everybody has a place. Everybody isn't supposed to be out there, you know. So but the point that I'm making is that try not to judge how Black people mourn, try not to judge how Black people protest, try not to judge how Black people respond to being killed over and over by police.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody's responding to it differently.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not mad at no way nobody's responding to it, because an innocent man lost his life. And if that was your life, wouldn't you want the whole world to avenge your death too?
Yeah,
so if I lost my life in the same way that George Floyd lost his life, and I knew that the whole world had stopped for me, and people were looting and burning buildings down and doing crazy stuff, I'd be pretty hyped.
Yeah,
I'd be like, that's kind of dope. You know what I mean? So I think that we are, even though that's wrong, still, at least we are showing that we cared about an innocent Black man's life being taken away wrongfully.
Yeah, I feel like if you're not on the ground kind of fighter, like out there doing a protest, blah, 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 there has to be some kind of effort. So instead of just reposting something, or like, you know, there has to be some sense of like, I care about this and I want it to change. Because it could be you, it could be your dad, it could be your brother, you know, so, or sister, whatever. So, you know, I just think, you know, we got to do something, whether we go into the city council members and saying what we got to say, going to the police officers, chief of police, whatever, saying what we got to say, and, you know, making our mark on the world, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
and you bring up another good point that, you know, we got to also try to be careful not to judge other people. And, you know, it's so easy to tell somebody else, you're not posting anything, or you just posted a selfie and you should have posted a black square.
Yeah.
People are doing that, you know what I mean? And so I feel like it don't matter how bad the world looks, it don't matter how good the world looks, everybody's not going to do what you want them to do. The world could be very well ending, and just because somebody don't want to tweet about it or they don't want to post about it, we really got to just learn that everybody is dealing with things in their own way, and nobody's dealing with it the same way. And again, it don't matter how bad the world looks, everybody's not going to deal with it the same way.
Yeah.
Everybody, so we got to cut that out, because everybody's not going to post a black square. Everybody's not going to go to a protest. That's okay. Again, everybody's going to deal with it their own way, and I just feel like we just need to respect that.
I agree. Yeah. Okay, so does anybody else have anything to say, or we gonna move on? Okay, we move. Oh, we got, you know, our girl. I'm sorry, I was gonna say Illy Red. I'll let you introduce yourself. Let everybody know.
Yep, it's ICM, and yeah, I just came in 10 minutes ago, but I'm here now. So what's up?
What's up?
Have you been to any protests, or you've been watching everything that's going on?
I've definitely been watching, and I mean, kind of like what he was saying. Like, I really think it is really beautiful to see people coming together and everything like that. But I wish I was at the protest. Hopefully they have another one soon, and I'll definitely be there. But yeah, I mean, I've been watching for sure.
Yeah. So let's talk about why the National Guard came to Tulsa, or to town. So why do you guys think that the National Guard came to Tulsa?
Taylor, can you tell us more about that?
Okay. Well, so on the night of the riot in front of the mall, they had called National Guard to come in and help out with the help the police out, because I guess they had got too crazy and whatnot. And from what I've heard was that they had tanks rolling down the street because people had broken into a jewelry store,
mm-hmm.
and started stealing stuff out the jewelry store. And so they called like the National Guard in, and the National Guard was out there till about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And then after that, that's really just about it. And so
National Guard will probably in most cases only come out whenever things become federal. So when things become like a federal issue, meaning like basically when we mess with their money, we mess with government money, or, you know, money, then they come out because they, you know, just mess with their money. But that's when we make most changes, when you mess with their money, because then they're present, you know. But I mean, that's why I think they came out, is because, I mean, we were planning. We didn't destroy the mall, but there was other businesses that was destroyed, you know. So just a banking system for the United States. And most businesses, obviously, you know, provide money or whatever. So, yeah, when you mess with their money, then they're going to show up.
I can see that. I mean, to me, it was more of like, why was the National Guard needed to be called? I mean, I understand that, I guess, the police couldn't handle as many people as it was out there, but, like, I guess they were just out for extra protection and trying to calm down the situation, but it didn't really calm it down. Like, it still stayed the same.
Mm-hmm.
Until about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's when everybody really just went home. So,
yeah,
that's really about it.
Well, I mean, thankfully, nothing crazy. Like, nobody was, they didn't throw no kind of nothing crazy at us where they killing us in, you know, a mass.
Yeah, I mean, but they did throw some tear gas out there, but
yeah,
that's it. That's all they did. So.
Mm. Okay, so let's get into our next topic, which is, and this is a little bit less of, you know, the stuff that's happening now, but let's talk about what happened to the murder wasp from Asia. So can you give us a little bit of background on that?
So basically what had happened was, in between the times of after the coronavirus happened and right before the Black Lives Matter movement happened, they were talking about how these giant wasps or hornets were coming from Asia, and if you got stung by them, they would kill you. So then it was like, you know, be on the lookout, all this and that. But now that we here, ain't nobody really talk about it no more. So it's like, what happened to them? Like, where did they go? Like,
that sounds suspect to me.
Like, y'all tell us that, oh, be on the watch out for murder wasps because they can kill you with just one sting. And then it was either that they can kill you with one sting, or when one sting you, multiple will come after you and sting you until you're dead. So, like, they'll leave, like, a scent or something after they sting you, and then, like, more will come and attack you or something like that. And so they told us about it, but then they just like 2 weeks later, it up and disappeared. And so,
I mean, this is okay. I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist or whatever, but to me, it kind of just sound real suspect. Like, the corona came from Asia and killing people
China.
Off.
China. Everything coming from Asia. Everything
and, yeah,
made in China.
Like, what y'all trying to do?
Everything coming from
but
China.
Y'all trying to have population control in this mug.
But what if it's not real, though? Like, what if
the coronavirus wasn't real?
That's what I'm saying.
Do you think this is like a distraction?
I mean, there's a lot going on. I mean, if you think about, and I like the fact that y'all are open-minded. And I know we have, you know, shout out to our listeners out there that are open-minded too. And, you know, I love that TK and Tiller were proposing the idea of a conspiracy. And I think everybody needs to keep your mind open to those things, because the media is kind of like a fear-based place, and it's turned into that, because they're not going to show a peaceful protest. They're gonna show people tearing down. They're going to find, well, let's find the protest that's the most violent.
Right.
So you got to think about it when it comes to them specifically feeding you certain things in the media. Just know that it was specifically tailored to, it was specifically tailored for a specific reason. You know, they're going to show the riots and the protests that are violent because that's what they want you to see. But they're not going to show you the ones where the cops were kneeling down with the black people, or that the cops were walking with them, or all the positive things that are happening, because as human beings, we like drama. We like, you know, we make movies about it. We make TV shows about it. So I kind of feel like when Tiller and TK just said that, you know, it could be a conspiracy, I would have to agree, because I think that the murder wasp specifically, you know, I just heard about it from someone else. I didn't even hear about it on social media or on the news. Somebody just told me, like, hey, Quentin, you hear about some murder wasp? And I was like, I'm glad I didn't, because I'm not going to give myself another reason I have anxiety about living,
right.
And I have to already worry about wearing a mask when I walk out of my house.
Right.
So I feel like, yeah, a lot of it this year is a lot of undercover. It seems, and my intuition tells me it's some undercover, it's some conspiracy stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
You know?
So for me, this is my conspiracy theory on how this is all happening. So basically, when the coronavirus came out, you know, everybody's jobs and stuff got shut down, right? Like, a whole bunch of businesses and everything got shut down for at least, like, well, you had to shut down for at least 2 weeks, right? So with that being said, Trump was like, he was like, okay, I'm about to start giving out, you know, $1,200 to everybody who filed their taxes, right? So my thing is that it would be, the reason why he did that is because he wants everybody to vote for him to be back in office again, you know?
Oh, yeah, I mean.
And then, but then,
ahead,
like,
sir.
When this George Floyd incident happened, it kind of threw it off, because then now he's talking about, like, oh, y'all need to get y'all, like, he's telling certain states, like, y'all need to get y'all states in order, you know what I'm saying, like, control all the riots and whatnot. He's like, you know what, we just gonna call National Guard, you know what I'm saying? He's not standing up with the, like, he's not really showing his careness to the Black Lives Matter movement, you know what I mean? Unlike our former president, Barack Obama, you know, he's standing with us, and he's telling, like, you know, he's giving his input on it and whatnot. And so I felt like that really just messed it up, you know?
And then he also called, like, the people that were doing the protests, like, thugs as well. Like, he literally called them thugs. I mean, we've been new for a long time that he's, you know, not the best person.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how he's calling people that are doing protest thugs. And last time I checked, I think you're anybody that steals somebody from another land is a thug too, you know.
True.
So,
I wasn't
true
ready for that one, but it's true.
It's true. They're not ready to talk about that. You know what I mean? We're not ready to talk about how Native Americans, Black people, and Hispanics split America. Not ready to have those conversations, because it wasn't Caucasians. They founded it, but
you know. I watched a video on social media, and this guy was saying that if we want to destroy what we built, then we have a right to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If we want to destroy the malls and blah, blah, blah,
right,
then we got a right to do that, because you know, we build it on our backs.
I'm just asking for us as Black people to unite and move to Africa and build Wakanda. Like, put all your energy into advancing technology in Africa and development agriculturally, economically, so Black people can thrive and we don't have to worry about anybody coming into our land. And I'm sorry, I'm having a whole Killmonger. Well, I guess this is a T'Challa moment, because T'Challa was the one who didn't like Killmonger when what he had to say, and that was pretty much what he wanted to do. Anyway, but no, I just feel like I really wish that, you know, we need to really pour into Black businesses right now. We really need to, on a serious note, really like invest in our community and just figure out ways that we can build Tulsa, because Tulsa has a lot of history that we can build when it comes to Black Wall Street. Like somebody said, Tulsa is the blueprint of the Black community in America, and I honestly think it is, because we have a lot of history here that gets overlooked. We're still struggling economically here in the north side of Tulsa, like just like how movies and TV shows portray a Black side of a town, of a city.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Tulsa has all those qualities that are still growing, and we need to just take advantage of it, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement kicking off so much. That's going to highlight Black Wall Street.
You know what's crazy is, like, a couple days before, like, the whole George Floyd thing happened, I was scrolling on Twitter, and they was talking about the Black Wall Street of Tulsa. And, like, I looked at the comments one night, and it was like, I seen a whole bunch of people. It was like, I've never heard of this. Like, I don't even know what this is.
Haven't.
Like, and it was like, how come I ain't learned this in history class and whatnot? And I was like, dang, I ain't even know that, you know. A lot of people didn't know that this was a thing. But then at the same time, there's other people saying that, oh yeah, this isn't, Tulsa isn't the only place that has had something like this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't quite remember where they said it was, but then they were like, there's been other places that have had, you know, stuff like our Black Wall Street that's been, you know what I mean? That's been burned down and whatnot. So.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was a pretty cool thing, how, like, to me, how not only is it people in Tulsa who know about it, but then there's some people outside of Tulsa who know about it, but also doesn't know about it.
Well, this is a topic I'm putting out there. Do you think the Black Lives Matter movement is anti-white, or do you think the Black Lives Matter movement is simply pro-Black?
I'm not going to say that they're anti-white. I think that I wouldn't say that, and neither would I say that it's strictly just pro-Black. I think that it's just a moment that just puts the emphasis on Black lives, or it should be. I'm not sure like what actually goes on, but I think it's the movement or a campaign, whatever you want to call it, to just put an emphasis on why Black lives is important and why we matter and why we should be alive. Why you shouldn't kill us, kind of thing, you know?
So do you guys agree with people saying all lives matter? Like, does that make you mad and furious when somebody shouts all lives matter?
It just makes me think, like, they're ignorant to what's going on. Ignorant as in they're unaware.
I feel like it's not the time or place to really be doing that right now. Like, okay, we understand that, you know, everybody's lives matter, but, like, as a Black person, we're fighting for equal rights right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I mean, like, well, I don't even know how to say it, but there are people out there who think that, oh, this is just fun and games, and they're reposting pictures of how this man died, like, with smiles on their face. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is white people putting their knee in another white person's neck, and they're both looking at the camera just smiling, like, you know what I mean? Like, this right here is not, this is not something funny to us. Like, this is something serious, and we take this very serious, and this is very close to our hearts, because, I mean, 9 times out of 10, you see a police car following you. It don't even matter how long they following you. You scared for your life. You see one or two, it's like, oh my gosh, I hope they not following
me
and about to pull
me
over. Right, and you like, you know what, I'm about to just turn in right here, park, and hopefully they ain't following me. And so, like, for us, we fear for our lives, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to make it back to our family and whatnot. But this is something that we're not playing with. We're not trying to make this a game or nothing. We being 100% all in, equal rights. We want to be treated just like everybody else in the world. And so, you know, we fighting for what we deserve, you know.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of the things that annoys me about it, it doesn't make me just infuriated and angry, but one of the things that annoys me about it is that I don't think a lot of white people understand that we literally are like targets. And it's like we're literally a target. And, you know, it's just like, and it's proven that we are a target. There's even certain articles that say that, you know, certain organizations or whatever target black people. And like, we've been the victim. I'm not saying that we do kind of victimize ourselves in some situations, but with slavery, we've been the victim. We were always the victim. It's genetically in us to be the victim. We're just the victim in a lot of cases.
And we're trying to change that.
Yeah, we're trying to change that. And in some cases, I'm not trying to say that all we just gotta have this victim mentality, but we are a victim in the most cases. But whenever it's an issue or a black issue, when something happens and then you have like a group of people saying, no, not Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. And it's like, yeah, sure, but in this case, we're dying. You aren't. You know, your people isn't dying. We're dying because police officers are killing us for nothing. You know? Like, I'm pretty sure nobody has ever gotten in a car to drive and hasn't looked in their rear view to see if a cop is going to pull them over. Pretty sure you've never had that experience in your life. If you really think about it, every time you get in a car to drive, at least once in that period from there to there, you looking in your rear view or whatever to see if this cop has pulled me over or is there a cop behind me, you know?
Well, I want to put some hope out there because I know, like, a lot of us, like you were saying, that, you know, the African-American community target, it seems, since you know, history, American history has told us that. And also we're talking about how we feel, black people, like we feel kind of like powerless because we feel like we're a target, right? Well, I want to also put this conspiracy out there because I'm a spiritual person. What if it was programmed for you to believe that you are a victim? What if it was programmed into your mind to believe that you have to constantly view yourself as a target and view yourself as something that you have to fear or something that you have to constantly look behind your back and, you know, kind of be afraid of a white person abusing their power instead of focusing on the fact that you come from royalty, instead of focusing on the fact that you come from a rich history from Africa, instead of focusing on the fact that our ancestry doesn't stop at slavery, instead of focusing on the fact that whatever you focus on expands, whatever you focus on grows, whatever you focus on believes. Because if I'm looking at myself in the mirror every day, like, I'm a black man in America, and I got to always look behind my back when a cop drives. Like, I ain't doing all that. I'm sorry, but I'm not one of those black men that's going to sit here and live in fear. I'm not.
I mean, yeah, I definitely feel you. And that's 100% like something that I believe we do come from royal villages and tribes and all of that. Before slavery, we was the ones that was running everything. You know, I believe all of that. And I have that deep in me. I know that I'm from a royal lineage out there. You know what I mean?
And we got to use that energy.
Yeah.
We got to cultivate. And I'm not saying that we're not wrong to feel how we feel, because nobody, I tell people all the time, don't tell a black person how to respond, how to feel about racism and all these things we've dealt with for a long time. It's in our blood. Our ancestors, they feel this right now. They're with us. They helped us to get to this moment. They prepared us for this year. They prepared us to fight at the Black Lives Matter rallies and protests. Because that's why it felt so good to go. It was not a thought in my head that I'm going to get hurt. It wasn't a thought in my head I shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking, this is all the stuff I used to hear about when I was a kid.
Right, and we doing it.
And we doing it. Yeah. I used to read about this. I go to the MLK parade in Tulsa, Oklahoma for this every year. Like, why would I be at home right now when I've learned about all this in history books? And I can be a part of history right now. Like, why would I be home?
Yeah.
So that's how I looked at it. I didn't care about, you know, people being afraid of getting hurt, because I already know I'm regardless of whatever is physically in front of me, I've already trained my mind to believe that I'm protected. I don't care what it looks like in front of me. I train my mind to say that I'm protected. I spoke that over my life, and I just challenge y'all to speak your success and speak your abundance into existence. Don't let the media, don't let these racist people, white, black, whoever they are, don't let them take away the power that your mind has to create your own reality and to not live in fear. Because if you live in fear and you live in a box, you're not truly living. If you think that being a black is a you're a victim as a black person? Because I'm not going to tell my son or my daughter that. I'm going to say, unfortunately, that's a white problem. It's not a black problem.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, that's not a black problem. That's a that's a white problem. And so you just got to be on the lookout for X, Y, and Z. But just know, like, ain't nothing wrong with you, sweetheart. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You are a queen. You are royalty. And unfortunately, in America, they don't teach us our history. But I'm going to teach you our history. That's what I'm going to do when I have kids. So.
Yeah,
right.
I agree with that.
But ICM and Lil C, how what y'all think about it? How y'all feel about this whole situation?
Well, going back on TK's question about like if Black Lives Matter is like you know, pro black or what was that?
Saying is Black Lives Matter, do you think it's pro black or anti white? And then I was saying like also does all lives matter and Black Lives Matter, what's your opinion on that?
Well, for the Black Lives Matter movement, I definitely don't think it's disregarding anybody else's, like, I don't think it's disregarding any other race. I think it definitely is pro-black. It's just, like, I don't know. It's focusing on black people. Like, it's empowering black people, but it's not necessarily saying that no other lives matter or, you know, anything like that. I just think it's a thing that is built for us to get stronger off of and support us and all that stuff. But it's not saying that we don't like white people or something like that. It's not true. But about the All Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter thing, I don't really like me saying All Lives Matter because, yes, obviously everyone's a decent human being. But obviously, like, Latino and black people, they're like the minorities of this country and all around the world. And so it's like, I mean, all lives matter, but like y'all were saying earlier, like we suffer the most. And that's why we're focusing on us and empowering us because we're suffering most, not other people.
And I want to say something about the word minority that I hate. I hate that in America we've made it seem like minority means other, right? Because minority is everything other than white, period. In America, right? But that only exists here in America. It doesn't exist in other places. In other places, black people can outnumber white people, so we're not the minority. So minority really doesn't mean race or a group of people that are black and brown. Minority just means who is the smaller subgroup of race in that particular area.
Right. I mean,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
I don't think of it that way, but obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know.
Oh, I wasn't. That wasn't even me directing it at
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I was just saying, like, I hate that we think that minority means that black people are the minority around the world, or that minority is attached to black.
Like,
I hate that because it just makes it seem like, again, it's some white superiority. Like, it's like, oh, you're either white or you're a minority.
Yeah.
You're either two categories. You're white or you're a minority. Like, no,
I think that's
brainwash.
It's labeled that way because, like you said. It's the white superiority kind of thing.
It's the white supremacy.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I think that's why it's labeled like that because people don't look at black people as the more advanced group of people, I guess, or race of people. It's the white, you know,
yeah.
race.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's how we, like, were treated or
yeah.
are treated as minority, but I would never say
of
that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm just saying, like, in other places where the African-American population is a little more higher, white people would be the minority.
Yeah.
Or any other race would be the minority. We'd be calling them the minority. So I think that that's another thing. I think in order for us to really beat racism in America, we have to start seeing each other as humans. Like, at the end of the day, coronavirus don't care if you black. Coronavirus don't care if you white. That should tell you something, man. The coronavirus ain't picking and choosing who it wants to attack today. Oh, I'm going to come after the white race. They done did so much damage to the black community. Like, coronavirus ain't doing that. Coronavirus is just out here just, you know, affecting everybody. You know what I mean? And I think that should tell all of us that we're human at the end of the day, period. We're human. And to be mad at somebody or upset with somebody because of the color of their skin is a petty thing to be mad and upset about when there are hundreds of things in this world to be mad and upset about. You're going to be mad at somebody's color, at their skin, because it's different than yours. You know, so I think in 2020 it's sad that we're dealing with racial issues right now. But at the same time, I think it's beautiful because maybe these are things that needed to kind of be uprooted for us to move forward as a country. You know what I mean? Like, maybe 2020, the vision was really about this. Like, because I think that's crazy how this is 2020, the year of vision, and everything has happened. back to back to back to back to back to back. Like, just so transformative in our society. Like, I don't think our society is going to look the same by 2030. By 2030, we're going to live in a whole nother society. You know what I mean? So we're just living in the beginning stages of that. And, you know, I think that by the end of 2020, every month is something. This is the beginning of June, so I wouldn't be surprised if they said extraterrestrials are real.
You know, I think...
Seriously.
Mama just, I think that we really... Okay, all of the stuff that's been happening within our community, I think that it's just... There has to be a point where the mass of us are no longer being naive to the stuff that happens in the world, are no longer being silent about it, reclaiming our time and the stuff we say. I think it's just about, like, setting our, like, authority and telling people that this is not, like, this is not about to happen no more, you know? And just being, like, I don't know, there comes a point where we just got to stop living in this fantasy world that, like, I don't know. I don't even know how to explain how I'm feeling right now, but I feel like a lot of Black people are naive to a lot of stuff that happens in the world, you know, and how it affects us, how it affects our families, how it affects our income,
what
all of that.
Specifically? Give the people
the things that are happening. So, I'm talking about, like, all of the killings that has happened, not just this year, but, you know, Sandra Bland, back to, you know, Philando Castile, back to Terrence Crutcher, like, all of this stuff that is happening back to back to back to back to back. There comes a point where we just gotta, like, we went from the whole Black Panther movement or whatever, you know, to us being in military, whatever, to us having to put our hands up. And it's like, to me, it just looks real, I don't know, the fight is no longer there. The fight is there for us to scream and yell and curse and yada yada, but nobody is really doing the real work. Like, nobody is really going to, you know, these city councilors and state representatives and the mayor and having a one-on-one conversation and letting them know, or even not even one-on-one, but just bringing a group of people like you and letting them know what's up, you know? And not, like, being negatively. I'm not saying come to them ignorant and negatively. I'm saying real educational people giving a real reason to why or how this is affecting us, how it affects the world that we live in, you know?
And I was going to say that I'm not going to lie. I low-key love this year only for the simple fact that the fact that now Black people are, like, shouting, "I'm Black and I'm proud again."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just reminded me why I love being Black again. Like, that's making me fall in love with Black people even more. And, like, just seeing how powerful and resilient we are whenever we go through some hard time and we come together. And we
call
fight.
For unity.
We come together. Like, when something happens to the Black community, I have never seen a community like the Black community come together for an issue before in my life. Because now, again, like I said, we have the whole world has stopped for George Floyd. People across the world are having protests. Across the world. White people across the world are having protests for George Floyd. So I just feel like, you know, it just makes me, it's unfortunate that this man has lost his life for something that could have been avoided. But at the same time, it birthed a revolution of just Black pride again. You know what I mean? Like, I used to always hear about the 70s and how people were so proud to be Black in the 70s and the 80s. You know, that was that birth of the Black Pride movement, right? And since then, we've never had a Black Pride movement. And up until now, into the Black Lives Matter movement. So I kind of feel like the Black Lives Matter movement is our Black pride of our generation. You know what I mean? Like, it's like our opportunity to be proud to be Black again. So why not be a part of that? Why not go to a protest to say you was a part of history? You know what I mean? Like, you can't. It's not every day you can say you went to a protest. Like, I didn't even think I'd be saying that. Like, I was like, it's crazy. Like, I never thought I'd be telling my mom, you know, I'm about to head out to a protest just to let you know I'm over here. Like, am I in 1970 or 60 something? Like, what? Like, it's just wild to me that I'm telling my family that I'm, you know, going to a protest and I'm giving them my address and information to let them know I'm going to be okay. Like, I'm at a sit-in in 1960. So I just think that, you know, take advantage of this time because our ancestors are really, they're here. They're
yeah.
here. They're walking around and they're here. And especially because Black Wall Street anniversary is coming up next year. So
yeah.
It's ironic that all this is happening and shaking up. And the centennial is in 2021 here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah. So y'all, we're gonna take a quick break. We got Beyonce or the Carters Boss for y'all. We'll be right back. This is the Juice Radio Show. Make sure y'all, you know, keep in touch with us. Don't go nowhere, y'all. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Ain't none to it. Real one. Ain't none to it. Boss. Ain't none to it. Real one, ain't none to it. Boss, I bet it cost. Ooh, gon' take it off.
Take it off.
I record, then I fall.
Then I fall.
I ignored a lot of calls. You ain't talking about nothing, I ain't got no time. Got that Zanetto on my mind. Ooh, I got real problems just like you. Tell that trick, I don't like you. Ain't nothing to it. Real one. Ain't nothing to it. No. Ain't nothing to it. Real one. Ain't nothing to it.
Million crib, 3 million watch, all facts, no cap, false. You not a boss, you got a boss. Getting jerked, that's your curse, I take it personally. Rather work for the man than to work with me. Just so they can pretend they on my level, that's just irking to me. Pride always going before the fall, almost certainly. It's disturbing what I gross.
What I gross.
Survey says you're not even close. Everybody's bosses to the time to pay for the office. To them invoices that separate the men from the boys. Over here we measure success by how many people successful next to you. Here we say you broke if everybody gets broke except for you. Wow.
Ain't nothing to it. Real one. But my mama with my great great grandchildren already rich. That's a lot of brown turn on your Forbes list. Frolicking around my compound on my fortress. I'll be riding around with my seat reclining. Dropping my daughter off at school every morning. We slamming car doors. I be trolling on these bumboys. You ain't talking about nothing, I ain't got no time. Oh, yeah, tell him that they gotta relax. Those in the sand, mama getting fat. Nothing to it, nothing to it. Real one, ain't nothing to it.
I know it don't seem difficult to hit you up, but you're not passionate about half the that you into, and I ain't having it, and we both know that. I don't mean to offend you, I'm just focused today, and I don't know why it's difficult to admit that I miss you, and I don't know why we argue, and I just hope that you listen, and if I hurt you, I'm sorry. The music makes me dismissive. When I'm awake, I'm just drifting. I'm not complaining, it's just to say that I stay pretty busy lately. I could be misbehaving, I just hang with my famous if you forgot. I'm faithful despite all what's in my face, in my pocket. And this is painfully honest. And when I say it, I vomit. On cloudy days when I'm salty, I play the hate to the logic. State to state for the profit. It ain't a stain on me. My mama raised me a prophet. I play for dollar incentive. And where I'm walking is studded. And half retarded, I stumble to where she parked when she visit. I grab the bottle and chug it. I see the car in the distance. I know the dark isn't coming for the moment. If I could hold it. See, it seems that all my dreams got dimmer when I stopped smoking. Nightmares got more vivid when I stopped smoking. And loving you is a little different. I don't like you a lot. You see, it seems like
I'm coming back, I gotta handle business. Vanished to my sleeper seat. Left you at Terminal 3. I'll meet you down in baggage claim in a couple weeks, a fortnight. When you parade my homecoming, don't cry. You know I can't live in any place I visit. To live and die in L.A. I got my Fleetwood Mac. I could get high every day. But I be sleepy, OCD, and paranoid. So give me Bali Beach, no Molly, please. Palm, no marijuana trees. Yo, hickeys on my A order. And tattoos you could only see when I'm playing surfboarder. Put whiskey in that salt water. I emptied every canteen just to wear that straight edge varsity you think's cool. They called me soft in high school. Thank God I'm jagged. Forgot you don't like it rough. I mean, he called me a big F. I was just calling his bluff. I mean, how ain't no M.I. gonna be when I'm aiming my gun? And why is this mug all bloody? That was a 3-on-1. Standing ovation at Staples. I got my Grammys in gold. Polka dots on my Brit. I'm not supposed to be stunting. It's all melodic, this song. I catch this vibe in my sleep. But I'm just jet lagged as all and restless. All my dreams got more vivid when I stop smoking pot. Nightmares got more vivid when I stop smoking pot. Loving you's a little different. I don't like you a lot. I mean, bro, I don't know what we're about. What good is West Coast weather? If you're bipolar, if I'ma need this sweater, I'd rather be where it's cold, where it snows. See how it goes. I put the flowers in bowls. I know they're coming in droves. You'll only miss when it goes. Yeah, I think that's it. When it goes.
People across America trust Nutrisystem because we deliver your...
Yo, 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 what is up with ya? It is your boy, Young Tiller, and we are back with the Juice Radio Show. And I have my lovely guest here today. If you would like to introduce yourself.
Hey, how you guys going? My name is Jeremiah. I go by the Night Closer, the All-American Night Closer. And I'm right here from Tulsa, Oklahoma, professional boxer.
Okay, okay. So tell us a little bit more about your boxing career. How's that going for you?
You know, I like it. You know what I'm saying? I think it's going great. Last year I was able to reach the 2019 Olympic trials where I played silver. Established myself as the Olympic alternate, but instead I decided to go pro leading into 2020. And I did it all from training in Tulsa, Oklahoma, North Side.
How was it going to the Olympics, like the experience?
You said, how was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why I could. Let me see. Can you repeat that question?
Like, how was, like, your experience going to the Olympics? Like, I don't know. I guess just the journey going there and then once you actually got there.
The process kind of like, unlike anything you would do, you know what I'm saying? Like, to actually become an Olympian is a lot of sacrifice. So, I was back here, and I was in another state. I traveled a lot. I went out of country one time. It's a tiresome process, just because, like, you know, you got to watch what you eat. You got to, you know, watch, you know, what you're doing as far as, like, not a lot of free time. So, not a lot of time to make time for family and stuff like that. It's constant moving.
So a lot of people, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you a little better. Still a little muffled.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. Let's try something. Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I know a lot of people believe that. Well, I know a lot of body trainers who believe that if you can eat whatever you want as long as you work out like extra hard. So do you believe that, or is that false or what?
I ain't gonna say it's false, but you know your performance is gonna show. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to perform at a high level, you gotta treat it. You know what I'm saying? You gotta treat your body to a high level. So like you know, you can have days where you eat good. I'm sitting in front of a food right now. But what you want to do is, you know, just be mindful. Be mindful of what you're putting in your body. And if you're in the gym, you're putting the work in. I know guys, man, everybody's a little different. My buddy in Vegas, man, like he'll eat, like, pizza and stuff at the tournament. I'm like, dog, you know what I'm saying? I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But everybody's a little different. To perform at a high level, though, you got to, you know, treat yourself. To high level nutrition.
So where did you train here in North Tulsa? Was you with Coach Reed or?
No, it's funny, man. Everybody, you know, shout out to Reed, man. He's a legend, yo.
Yeah.
I don't ever tell anybody in town that I box without ever like, you know, getting that comparison. They'd be like, oh, you know, you got Reed, but huge respect. You know, I've been around Reed, we've known each other since I think I met Reed when I was probably about 18 or 19, like truly met him. I've always known of him though since I was 15 years old. But my journey has been like self-taught. You know, I trained at a gym whenever I moved back that had that took fighters and stuff like that. That kind of had boxing a little bit, but I ended up becoming like a fitness coach at that gym. And then I trained this last year over at Title Boxing Club. Just doing fitness classes, and then when after I did done doing my fitness classes, then I would train myself, and I was able to catch people's eyes, you know, across the nation, you know, just from standing in the gym or finding a heavy bag. I work out anyway.
Yeah.
I work out in the middle of the park. I just get it in.
I feel you. Okay. I've kind of wanted to get into a little bit of boxing myself. I just never did it.
Yo, it's never too late, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I've been doing this dedicated, you know, to my time to it for three years now, going on four.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been able to achieve some great things. But, you know, boxing is not, like, people always think, you know, you got to just go to boxing to fight, you know what I'm saying? You can go and just learn, you know, there's fitness boxing. There's, you know, you can learn techniques and stuff like that. So I think everybody should, you know, kind of give it a try to know.
Yeah.
Okay. So what makes boxing fun for you? Like what made it an interest for you?
You know, I'm a competitor at heart. Me, it's something about the challenge. You know, it's a rush, man. It's like a high that, you know what I'm saying, don't get anything else. Knowing that you're about to go in there and this other dude is trying to impose his will on you and you're trying to put it back on him. So for me, it's the art, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's another form of expression. I'm all about things that are expressive. And so with boxing, I feel like, you know, I can get out there and all eyes are on you. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't get the results you want, you can go back and tweak it. So like, Just that rawness of it, you know what I'm saying? Cause it's brutal, but it's beauty in it. Like, beautiful and brutal.
Okay. So, go ahead. What kind of stuff do you eat? Like, since you said you can't really, you know, eat all that fatty stuff, like, what kind of stuff do you eat? Could you give us, like, an idea?
Oh, sorry, you said what?
Sorry, what kind of stuff, like, do you eat, you know, to stay in shape and stay healthy and be ready?
I think you might have cut out on me again.
She was saying, hey, my name is Quintus. She was saying, what kind of stuff do you eat since, you know, your diet is very specific and strict?
Oh, man, you know, so, like, you know, I got cravings like everybody else, man. You know? So, like, I'm a big pasta guy, though. So, if you can find me, like, a good pasta, I like that. you know, it kind of gives me the fuel for my day. Food, sometimes, like, the hardest part about boxing is food because, you know, I love different flavors, spices, and stuff like that. But I never eat something that, you know, it's going to, like, take me away from the gym. I can feel it, man. When I start feeling like, oh, man, I'm kind of feeling heavy, then I just start running, you know.
Yeah.
But I say, like, pasta, fruits. I really love fruits. And then, I don't know, like, it really just depends. I'll eat anything, man. I really will. I'll try anything once or twice.
Oh my bad. I got a question. What's your boxing record? Like, how many wins do you take? Yeah.
So I've had over 30 amateur fights. I really kind of forgot after, but I know I fought at least like 35 to 36 times. I lost twice at the Olympic trials, double elimination, and I lost in the finals. Really, really good fight, though. It's still up on YouTube, you can probably catch it. But, you know, for me, it's all about the learning curve, man. So, like, you know, I've been on a steady growth rate. So I've been just growing and growing and growing. And then when I go to the professionals don't start over. So I'll be like, oh, no, I haven't had any fights professionally after.
So who is your favorite boxer, and also do you have any knockouts, or have you had any knockouts?
Oh yeah, I got a couple, man, where I stopped some guys. You know, amateur boxing is different from professional, so they try to, you know, make sure it's more safety involved.
Okay,
but
gotcha.
You know, if you know how to turn the punches over and you know how to hit somebody, you know, you can stop them, you can hurt somebody. I've never been hurt the amateur boxing match. I think that's a plus to give them more confidence going into the professionals.
But
I would say boxers that I really like to watch might be like Lennox Lewis, Evander Holyfield, of course. I got to meet him one time. You know, I don't know. Boxing, it draws a lot of different personalities and characters. So, like, you know, there's like somebody, everybody.
Yeah. So, okay, one more question. So what inspires you to keep going, especially as a black man, you know, with the current, you know, economy? So what inspires you to keep doing what you're doing and, you know, keep being great?
Yeah, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it for my people out there that's listening. You know, the odds have always been stacked against us, right? So, you know, you might not have the resources, the opportunities in front of you, but just keep moving forward, find your way, you know, keep pushing on that door until something's great. You know, that's kind of how I feel. You know, nobody can take me and put me back when I was living in poverty. You know, so I'm in a whole nother economical status right now, and I'm still pushing, I'm still striving. I haven't got to where I want to be just yet. So don't get complacent. Look around you and know that you can always do better. You know, and that's not to say, like, you know, just materialistic, but just growth and development. You gotta have something to grow and something to aim at, you know. So I set a goal and I'm looking at it, you know, and I see it. I'm like, okay, this is how I get to that step, you know. And so I make a plan for myself. It's always important to have a plan. But yeah, don't be too worried about what people got to say, you know what I'm saying? Because people out of me my whole life, you know, I was wearing a whole bunch of negativity all the time, and for me, sports, I was always late to sports, so I didn't just grow up playing sports, but, bro, if all I gotta do is get in the ring and fight, you know what I'm saying, I do more perseverance on the day-to-day than the fight, so ain't nothing to be nervous about, so yeah, you know, it's glamorous to be a boxer and everything like that, but, you know, life is a fight.
Yeah.
Okay. So before you leave, man, we would like to ask you for a little bit of words of wisdom, and just give us something that you want everybody to know or something.
Yo, okay. So, you know, we just reached the 99-year anniversary of, you know, the 1921 race massacre. an important part of Oklahoma history, an important part of world history, an important part of, you know, kind of where we're at today. So with everything going on in the media right now, you know what I'm saying, continue to be strong. Everybody needs to continue to be strong, you know what I'm saying? Search for real resolution. And, you know, never forget, you know what I'm saying? Like they say, never forget. Like, don't forget the sacrifices made, you know, by people before you to where you have this opportunity every day to wake up and do something else. So, like, if you take it for granted, you know what I'm saying, then me personally, I just feel like I'll be doing a disservice to the people before me, you know what I'm saying, that really, like, you know, fought. So I can have the right to sit here and even have a conversation on the cell phone, yeah?
Yeah.
So, yeah, just keep pushing, man.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
calling
for coming.
Us. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Appreciate you guys for having me.
All right. You stay blessed and stay safe out here.
All right. Stay blessed.
All right, guys. So right now we're going to take another little short break. Right now I have Lil Uzi Vert, Yes Sirski with 21 Savage for you guys.
Let it get inside.
Yeah.
Got a wet seat belt when you ride.
Yeah.
I'm keeping my Jimmy on tight.
Yeah.
I can count that with no eyes. You kill my partner, we ride. Little queen, let it fly. Got the thing, let it die. Hit it outside. Then I put up the V-Live. And we have sticks outside. Dragging on lean, on tight. Y'all can't join my life. I ain't giving no high five. Y'all around and be wide. Yeah. Drop head phantom on me. Whole lot of hunters on me.
Oh,
whole lot of rubber band, whole book bad me. 10 M's, yes, sir, ski.
Oh,
whole lot of they ski.
Oh,
cocaine, white like tea.
Oh, God.
LA on dick. Dirt around hanging out the tip. Y'all rookies, I'm a vet.
I did.
Put a pee hole through your neck.
What?
I just want to talk about a chick.
What?
Made a quarter tick about a vet.
True.
Savage still popping them sets.
True.
We were talking 10 for a verse. And I want 10 for a verse. That 10 times 10 for a verse. 10 times 10 and he hurts. I don't go to church, I curse.
Oh,
I ain't trying to kiss that look. I'm gonna put it on your chin when I burst.
Look,
man, yes, sir.
Oh, God.
Doing donuts in a seat, yes, sir.
Oh, God.
You got engaged, but she still wanna slur. She double tapped my picture, she so flirty. Draco with the drum, and it's dirty. Pineapple crush, it's so dirty. Come and get your, she's so thirsty.
Yeah.
I'm finna pass her to the gang, yes, thirsty.
Came in this house, I ain't panic, no, I ain't hot. I ain't know the bitch your bride. She tried to argue with me, then he got fired. I ain't wanna cap or lie. Me and her don't got ties. Watch how I walk, high slide. Put your girlfriend on the block with 1600 suicide squad. D try to have beef with me, I don't need like that's fried. Bro, no, pay 500 for some cod. Got my speakers up too loud, yeah. Two dog coupe on my ride, ride shotgun, give me head nods. Yeah. I'm in the stew all day, yeah. I can go verse for verse, yeah. I don't even pray, cause I'm cursed. Well, this for a block, not a purse, yeah. Deep taking a life, yeah. Deep taking fake birth. No, I know they stomachs all hurt. Too deep, her stomach hurt. Put that boy right on the shirt.
Name? Yes, sir. Doing donuts in a seat, yes, sir. You got engaged, but she still wanna slurp. She double tapped my picture, she so flirty. Draco with the drum, man, it's dirty. Pineapple crush, it's so dirty. Come and get your, she so thirsty. I'm finna pass her to the gang, yes, sir. Glenwood Road, I'm poppin'. The ops, I'm poppin'. Caught up a fly, they droppin'. Drop it in the bowl, it's lockin'. Spread up, I see some cocky. I'ma went hollow, I'm poppin'. Block get hot like Taki.
Oh,
I'm a dope boy, you a jockey. None of y'all can't stop me.
Nah.
With the crooks on Gabby.
Oh, God.
Don't speak, just swallow it.
Yeah.
Hit your baby mama, she follow me.
Yeah, yeah.
Hit him with a stick, he hollering.
21,
I tell it, I'm telling him.
Yeah.
Y'all love be gasping.
20.
Y'all fly spirit, I'm chattering.
So what is up with y'all? We are back in this thing. It is the Juice Radio Show.
Let's reintroduce ourselves. Your boy Prince Q.
And it's the girl, the one and only, most loveliest, TK.
What's up? It's me, Lucy.
It's ICM.
And it is your boy Young Teller, if you didn't know this already. But we're going to jump right back into these topics today, man. And right now we're going to talk about black businesses. The reason why I brought up black businesses, because now is the time to really and truly support all black businesses. It doesn't matter if it's food, clothing, anything that your mind can come up to. If it is black owned, support, support, support. Just to show that you really and truly do care about the whole black community and everything that's going on right now. We all need some loving, you know what I'm saying? Just because it's black don't mean it has to be cheap. You know what I'm saying? Don't mean that you always gonna get a
black
discount on it. You know what I'm saying? You know, so support your black businesses. And yeah, how do y'all feel about it? Y'all supporting black businesses or?
Yeah, I gotta say this, y'all. So I am, and I might just have a little party for it because I'm super excited about it. But I am about to quit my job to work for a black business. And I'm so happy because all my life I just wanted to work for a black business. That was it. So now I finally have the opportunity to work for a black business. And she's a woman. And it's just like, it's just great. So I might just have like a party because I'm excited about it. And to me, it's a big deal. Like, I'm leaving this business that's ran by a white person to go work for a black person.
Sure, why
and
not?
Eventually have my own business.
That's the way to go.
And to piggyback off what TK said, I'm trying to start my own black-owned business. I'm my own black business. My name is Quentin Marcellus. I'm a music artist, model, actor. I also do a lot of other creative things like blog. I'm a writer. I'm just creative in a lot of different ways. I have a blog called Qology.net where I talk about spirituality, fashion, music, and different things like that that I'm actually working on revamping right now and just I actually think I may need to take some time off of social media just so I can start my own black-owned business because
yeah.
I don't think I can with the current state of the world and the economy because it's so distracting. But to add to this, you know, to conversation about black-owned businesses, I definitely support my black businesses and my dream is to have my own black-owned business open up on Black Wall Street one day because I think that would be like, for me, I think that's like the best way I can get back to my hometown or have a piece of my creativity attached to the legacy of Black Wall Street.
Yeah. I think some of the conflict is just, I know some black owned business, okay. I'm just going to say that some businesses, like the stuff just be mad expensive. And it's like, I wouldn't even buy it if it was in a white store,
but
it's just like, bruh.
Okay. But then look at it like this. Okay, so me personally, okay, I am a black entrepreneur, very small at it. I do YouTube, clothing, and customized shoes. So look at it as this. So say, I'm not saying like you would do this, but say you go to like Finish Line, Champs, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You see a Nike shirt, they charge $35 for that shirt, right? You go to a black owned business, he charges $35.
I wouldn't buy no $35 shirt.
I'm saying, okay, that's you though. But I'm saying some people who out there who would. Like Nike has hoodies for $100. You know what I'm saying?
Crazy.
I never pay that price for a jacket that much because with $100 I can make my own hoodie and just slap a Nike logo on it, even though
it's,
you know what I'm saying, that's not what you're supposed to do, but still. It's just the mindset about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you pay for what you really want. You know what I mean? So you wouldn't pay $35 for a Nike shirt, but you'll probably spend $35 on something else that you really are into, though.
Like, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So if you seen, if you walked into a store and you seen a shirt that has something that you really, really liked on it, like a picture or something, you no second thoughts in your mind. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm getting this right here, right now. You know what I'm saying? And it's just with anything. Like, you know? But, like, when it comes to a black business, he might do something like that. And, you know, you're like, bro, come on, man. hook a brother up or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, to me personally, sometimes it's okay to do it, but it ain't going to happen all the time. You know what I'm saying?
We think because it's us, we got to get the hook up all the
right.
time.
That's a good point. We got to be more supportive of, like, our black businesses and not think that they're going to always give us a discount because we're black. And, you know, if your friend is a black person trying to start a black business, you got to treat them like they're starting a black business and not your friend.
Right.
So it's just like, you know, we talk about supporting black businesses, but we got to start taking our black businesses seriously. We got to start taking ourselves seriously when we want to start black businesses. And, you know, I think that's just really what it is. Like, you know, people just kind of expect to get that discount and that hookup because you're black or because you're my cousin or whatever. So we just got to just. If we think black is excellence, then we need to start treating it like it's excellence.
The only thing that, you know, worries me, not really worries, is just like, who are y'all catering to? Because most people in the black community do not have, like, or are not trying to buy, like, $75 t-shirts with a small little logo on it or buy three for their kids. Like, who is your audience that you're really trying to target? Are you trying to target us on the north side, or are you trying to target
they want them rich
these
people?
Big, you know what I mean?
They want the rich ones.
And I get it. Take that, you know, like that money, put it into us.
But then at the same time, though, I feel like you should be growing into the black community. You know what I'm saying? Not only are you trying to grow your brand, but, you know, it's okay to give something back. You know what I'm saying?
Like, cater to us and make
right
have a target audience.
You know what I'm saying? Have something going on for everybody. And so, yeah, you could do like a little, you know, make your shirts. Not saying they have to be like extremely
be
cheap.
Reasonable.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you say $5 for a shirt, you're not really making money off that shirt. I mean, you are making money, but
you got to have value.
You got to have, exactly. You got to have value, and then, you know, you got to price it right. So I say, like, you can do like $15, $15, $20. You know what I'm saying? That's not a bad price. At least to me, it's not. I'll pay $15, $20 for a shirt.
But I mean, hey, I support all black businesses, and I want y'all to thrive and do what you can. If you out here, if your business is thriving, then kudos to you. No matter how much your shirt, your shoes, your pants,
whatever
your
you
water,
may cost.
Whatever it costs, if you thriving, then you surviving, and I love it.
Right. I want to jump on that boat with y'all. That's
right.
Where everybody in life wants to be. They want. I feel like that's the wave nowadays. It's not nobody wants to work a 9-to-5 no more. They want to own their own thing. Or I mean, it might be just me. But I know a couple people who are the same way.
It ain't me. I mean, it ain't just you. It's not just you. It's me too.
Yeah.
Cause I can't work no 9-to-5. I can't do it.
Well, when you said when you get
my blood.
When you get a taste of heaven working for yourself, I mean, it's hard. That's the thing. Like, that's the challenge. And that's what I challenge everybody in here, because everybody's black and everybody here is excellent. Because we wouldn't be here in the same space if we weren't. So I feel like the challenge really is like, you know, your work ethic towards yourself.
Right.
Because, I mean, if you know that you go to work and get that check and you got to pay your bills, you go wake up early and you got to make sure you on time, you clock in and everything is like perfect for your boss, your manager, your boss to not micromanage you, right? But if you work for yourself, you got to micromanage yourself. You got to wake up at a certain time. You got to be responsible for how much money is in your checking account. Like, you got to be responsible for a lot. And that's a big responsibility that a lot of people aren't willing to take on. So it's like, it's easy to say, you know, start a black-owned business, but actually just learning the art of starting a business is something that we need to work on in the black community. You feel me? Like, we need to have some schools and teach people how to be an entrepreneur. And especially finances. I really want to see the black community thrive financially. And I think in order for us to thrive economically and financially, we need to educate each other about how to manage our money. That's where my head is for 2020. And my vision is, like, to have good money management skills. Because you're not going to get anywhere in life. You're not going to accomplish your dreams or anything unless you learn the fundamentals of, like, managing your money. Because as you get more successful, you're going to want to buy more. You're going to want to experience more in life. And you're going to have that money to back it up.
Just, like, how to manage your money, but learning about how to save it and, like, credit. Because that's a really huge thing that a lot of us don't know anything about or that we're just now learning about. Like, I just now really got the scoop on credit maybe like last month on some real stuff. Like, I knew about it, but I actually understood the percentage of what you're supposed to do, blah, 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 the ins and outs of everything, like, as of last month. So, you know, it's just like, why am I just now learning this?
Why don't we educate? That's the question for y'all. Why do you think that in the black community we don't talk about financial literacy? Why don't we talk to our children or we talk...
My bad. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I was just going to say our financial history comes from our parents. Their financial history comes from their parents. So I think it's just what they know.
But I think, you know, in the Black community, we need to have, like, I don't know if you guys heard about that startup, that entrepreneur startup that happened in Black Wall Street that Ramal actually got accepted to and was a part of. But we need to have more workshops, need to have more schools where we just teach our Black community how to be entrepreneurs. That's what we need.
Yeah.
Because there are Black entrepreneurs, yes. But does everybody know how to be an entrepreneur?
No.
There's only a select few people that know the steps and the amount of money that may you need to set aside, maybe, or just the process to get your business started. Because everybody has a different business. Everybody's business ain't the same. So, you know, I think that's a big gap. We talk about uplifting our Black entrepreneurs, but what about cultivating our Black entrepreneurs? What about teaching people how to be an entrepreneur? That's something that we need to work on.
Yeah, and for it to be effective.
I
don't want to go to no financial literacy class, and I'm walking out like, okay, I ain't getting nothing.
Right. But the thing about it is that as in the meantime, when you ask it, when you're putting it out there that you want to, you know, better financial management skills and things like that, you got to be actively seeking out books. You got to be actively seeking out YouTube videos or anything you can. It's hard, but if you want to be great, you know, you got to be actively putting in effort to do certain things on your own. Sometimes you can't wait for your mama, your daddy, your cousin, your brother, your sister, your friend, your professor at school to teach you how to do something. You got to take those steps first and do it. And that's the challenge.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for my brother for putting me on because, y'all, now that I know the stuff that I know now, I'm like, okay, now I know what to do with my money. Now I know what to do when I'm trying to get this credit card or whatever, you know?
Right.
So I'm thankful for him putting me on.
Also, Black-owned banks. I don't know if you guys know, there's a lot of Black-owned banks. There's one Black-owned bank that even has their own their credit cards. I think it's called One United, I believe. United One, something like that. But on one of their credit cards, they have pictures of Harriet Tubman. They got pictures of historical Black figures. They have pictures of Black people depicted as royals on the front of their credit card. So when you hand a white person your credit card,
like boom.
Boom, Harriet Tubman has got like the Wakanda salute on her own. Like seriously, like look this up. But
that sounds nice.
But I think honestly, I would encourage everybody that's listening, everybody that's watching on Facebook Live, please, please, please go check out a Black-owned bank, because that will change your life. Knowing that you're investing your money into a bank that's owned by Black people, you know your money gonna be protected. You can bet you that you're gonna have a lot more options. You're gonna have a lot more security as a Black person to know, like, I'm banking with a Black-owned bank.
Yeah, that is.
It feels good.
Cousin on that bank over there.
Right. So I'm gonna actually work on a list on my Facebook. Anybody that's following me on Facebook, you can just check me out at Quentin Marcellus. But I'm actually gonna work on looking for an article that I can post where they talk about the different banks that are Black owned that you can check out, so that you, if you want to switch from Bank of Oklahoma, you can switch from Bank of Oklahoma to One United, because actually One United is the one that I'm gonna switch to. That was one I'm talking about specifically. So yeah, that's what I would say about Black businesses, you know.
Okay.
Banks are perfect for that.
There's a lot of Black owned businesses, like cell phone services, everything.
Ooh, I've never, you know what would be cool? You know, we have AT&T, T-Mobile, and all these other, what about a Black owned cell phone service?
Yeah, there is one. I don't know what it's called, but I know there is one, because I remember watching.
Now that'd
show.
Be hot.
Yeah,
it
there
would
is
be.
One.
Because
really, you know, we gotta support it. Black people gotta support our own stuff.
There's,
so you know,
Black owned toothpaste, toothbrushes, clothing, like everything.
Like,
we're just unaware.
Really? I mean, I'm not surprised, because we're already great, but we just need to, you know, be aware of all this. And I was just going to say, like, you know, I would definitely love to see a Black-owned, like we're just saying, like, tech company, like Apple.
That would be amazing, bro. Like,
some Wakanda type stuff.
I ain't
going
like, that phone would probably be, I feel like, if they came out, if a Black-owned business came out with something like Apple, bro, it would be, I think it would be over for Apple, to be honest,
bro.
Grape.
And let me, I'm gonna mention one. A grape. Watermelon.
Watermelon.
It would be a watermelon instead of apple.
Man, that would be lit, bro. That would be funny.
See, I don't even like watermelon, so that's such a lame joke.
Fried chicken.
or chicken.
Yeah, okay. That's not stereotypical, y'all.
What's a better fruit than a watermelon for black people?
Great.
Kool-Aid, that's not a fruit.
I don't know.
He's so black.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, if not a watermelon, then grapes.
Nah, that's it. Watermelon
grapes,
and grapes, man.
Grapes. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that's it.
I think
grapes. I don't know. Some green or grapes or red grapes? I say red grapes for black people. I like green grapes, but if we're talking about black people at home, I think red grapes.
I think a lot of black people do
green. You think black people do green over red?
It depends.
That's the question right there.
That is a good question.
Do black people like green grapes or red grapes?
Isn't there like a purple? Or is that red?
I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about, the red. Yeah, it's pretty much red.
I thought it looked purple to me.
I mean, it's purple, but that's
like
what I mean.
It's like purplish
purple
red,
onion,
you know?
Yeah.
Red onion, but it's purple.
It's a purplish red.
Okay.
I mean, I like green grapes, so yeah. It's black people in this room, so what? What's your pick, green or red grapes?
I'm going with green, bro. Them things sweet.
Yeah, I'm going with green grapes. That's sour for me.
I like that one.
I like red.
You like red? Yeah. Okay.
Man, team green. Let's go.
Team green?
That's
sour. So we get green outweighs red in
but
here.
But look. Have y'all ever tried cotton candy grapes? Like, they
never heard of that.
Genetically modified.
But still, hear
never
me out.
Never heard of that.
But it is. It tastes exactly like cotton candy, bro. But it's a grape.
I don't like to eat grapes and think of cotton candy. Like,
where can you get this from?
I don't
even know. You can get them at Sprouts, Walmart.
Sprouts?
Yeah.
I'm always at Sprouts on me.
Yeah, so, they have, like, a season where they come out. They're not out. I don't think they're out all year, though. And so, it's more like a summer thing. So, it should be out, like, sometime sooner. So.
I think my thing is, I go for red grapes because, one, they're really sweet. But I like cheese crackers and grapes, you know? So,
I
think red grapes go well with cheese crackers.
She put me onto that one day, and it was because it was smacking, though. I ain't gonna hold you. It was smacking.
Get your glass of wine with your, you know?
Nah, I ain't doing a glass of wine.
Hey,
not for underage people over here.
Oh, sorry. Y'all get some sparkling
Welch's. Some
grape
juice.
Yeah, right.
Get some sparkling Welch's. Sparkling Welch's juice.
We'll get you
some
cranberry juice.
Cranberry juice.
You know.
Sprite
in it.
Some Sprite.
I'm gonna have to bring some for y'all. I don't know. I'm sure y'all have talked about it,
but don't let this conversation about grapes distract you guys from the fact that I want to see a black-owned tech company. Okay.
I'm gonna look it up because I know there is.
You know what? I might have to go ahead and get to work on that.
And right, but I was gonna also mention y'all that before I tell you of a black-owned tech company that I know of by actually a popular black man that nobody probably ever thought of or researched. Do you know of any black tech companies?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
She only knows because she's looking it up.
That's right.
Well, you looking it up. Do you know off the top of your head before you tell me?
No, she didn't.
Okay, I was going to mention Ray J. I don't know if y'all know.
I mean, but that's not really, is that tech, though? I mean, it
Ray J has a, he
I
has,
know it's earbuds, but.
I mean, that's technology. Wireless earbuds?
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Technology.
Okay.
I mean, headphones and wireless earbuds, that's a tech. That's
right.
Tech.
Right.
You know what I mean? So.
I mean, I knew about it, but I.
Let me say this though, because this is actually a really great accomplishment. So Figures Wireless, based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, has been valued at $62.3 million.
Wow.
Figures has said at 21, Figures was the youngest person to acquire an FCC license, and he now operates Figures Communication, the only black-owned telecommunications company in America.
Hmm.
Man, that's cool.
Okay, Figures, do your thing, Freddy Figures. He was abandoned in a dumpster at birth and was adopted when he was just 2 days old by two loving parents. And now the CEO of Figures Wireless.
Wow. That's a life-changing story right there.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. He said he was adopted at
2 days.
Yeah. Abandoned in a dumpster at birth and was adopted when he was 2 days old.
I mean, hey, if he can do it, anybody can do it, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? Don't let anything tell you or anyone tell you that you can't do it.
It don't matter how much money you have. Don't matter where you come from. You're rich, you're poor. All you got to do is apply your mind to something.
Right.
And just, like, make a sacrifice, whether that be financially, whether that be emotionally, whether that be whatever's holding you back from distracting you from manifesting your goals, your dreams. You just got to sacrifice something.
Right. You just got to find something that sticks to you, something that you want to do. Don't do something like For me personally, I don't want to do anything where I have to wake up every day and be dreading it. Like, dang, I really don't want to go do this. Do something where you can wake up every day and just be like, yeah, you know what? I'm about to do this today, and it's about to be lit. You're about to have fun. You know what I'm saying? So even if it's creating music, designing a brand, doing anything in the world, make sure you're having fun. Because, what's that saying? The saying is, not all money is good money.
Yeah.
At least that's in my perspective. That's how I see it. So no matter if this job over here is telling me, oh man, we'll pay you $20 an hour. Well,
it's like labor, like slavery.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, but what am I going to have to do to get this $20 an hour? You know what I'm saying? I don't really want to wake up and do that to get, you know, my $20 an hour. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather go do something fun that I enjoy, probably make a little bit less than that $20 an hour, but at least I'm enjoying my day. At least I ain't waking up every day and like, dang, you know, I hate this. I hate doing this and all this. I'm waking up saying, I love this. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I got this opportunity to do it, you know?
You know what I would suggest? If you're interested in starting a business and working for yourself and not a 9-to-5 job, stuff like Uber Eats and like Uber and all those different things, like find those little side job hustles that allows you the freedom to create your own schedule and a freedom to kind of like move when you want to move, and you'll kind of learn your flow, how you work as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I might have to take that on though. I ain't never thought about doing Uber Eats or Uber.
I would suggest Uber Eats and not picking up people. I used to pick up people when it was just crazy. Like I had so many good and bad stories from picking up actual people in my car who didn't always respect it, or they felt entitled to stuff, or they freaked out if you took a wrong turn, like they think you're trying to kidnap them, like seriously. So I was like, I gotta stick to food, because
food ain't gonna
people
are
gonna drive me crazy. Food ain't gonna do that to me. All you gotta do is right. Oh man, it got crazy. All you gotta do with food is you just pick it up and drop it off somebody's porch. When you pick up people in your car, you get attitudes, you get smells, you get disrespect, you get some people who like you, some people who don't like you, some people who want to talk, who don't want to talk, some people who don't have the right address in the Jeep. You get so many different things that you got to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So kudos to people out there, especially in the time period we're living in right now, and to all my black people out there, Ubering, be safe. You know what I mean? Like, Ubering is not always, you know, glamorized as people glamorize it, but it is hard work. It is hard work to deal with so many different personalities every day. So I just send out my kudos to anybody out there, and especially in these times, this pandemic times, who's Ubering, be safe out there, drive safe, and just, you know, take some mental health breaks. But I definitely would recommend Uber Eats over anything, because I think Uber Eats are like, you know, all the other food picking up companies, you know, I think those are easy things you could do in these times. Especially with being so many layoffs right now, a lot of people still don't have a job right now. That's the easy thing you could do on your phone. Like if you have a car, you just pick up food. Like I think it's a great opportunity to get started as an entrepreneur, and that's something I'm actually doing. So,
hey.
You know, I just want to shout out my boy Josh J Emmanuel, J Boogie. I don't think you guys are aware of him, but anyway, I just want to shout him out because this man, like. I don't know, something about him inspires me to just keep going.
Jay Boogie, talk about him. Who is this? Is he from Tulsa?
So he was actually on the show in the past, but he went to school for Jackson State, in Jackson State.
Josh?
Yeah, Josh.
Okay.
But yeah, something about him just inspires me to like keep going and to just be me. So I just want to shout him out. I love you, bro. And I really hope and I pray that you are safe and that you are thriving out there, because you have such a huge future and I can see it. I can see it. You're bright, man. You're bright. Yeah, that's all I had to say.
That's good.
So what's the topic we haven't covered, Taylor? I know there were a couple of things you wanted to talk about this week.
I got a topic.
Okay.
Want me to hit you with it?
Hit me with it.
All right, what's up? All right, so LeBron James is going to produce a documentary. Yes, thank you. Over 1921 race massacre over Tulsa, Oklahoma. So that's going to be
LeBron James. LeBron James is also going to be working on Space Jam 2.
He does a lot of amazing
Yeah, he's really, if you didn't know, LeBron James is really connected to the community, the black community. You know, he's giving back to the black community.
But if
and
come to Tulsa, though.
If he do, if you will see me.
Yeah, you. I'm pretty sure you'll see everybody.
See, that's the thing. If LeBron James is really doing this, which sounds like he is, it wouldn't make any sense.
What you mean?
For you to not come to Tulsa.
Agreed.
Okay.
It would not make any sense.
Okay.
I don't even.
Yeah, you can't. You can't do it from. You can't.
You
do
can't
it from,
do it from LA.
Right.
In your mansion, like you need to come. Because
Agreed.
I respect LeBron James. He's dope. He's amazing. Like Kobe co-signed LeBron James, but. When it comes to the 1921 race ride in Tulsa, Oklahoma, if we're gonna let a major celebrity like LeBron James take over that project and not let somebody from Tulsa do it, you gotta come. And if you don't come, then I still don't see that as that counting towards really it's still counting towards something because it's awareness. So I can't say that. And he's an African American man, but I would like to see you come to Tulsa if that's what you're gonna do. If you don't. Then I want to see somebody from Tulsa do something bigger.
And it's going to respect him a
you
lot.
Feel me?
Or it's going to make me respect him a lot more if he does come to Tulsa.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, I just don't think it's going to make sense to cover the Tulsa race rides from L.A.
Yeah.
He might come.
He said social distancing, man. Y'all got to. It's social distancing.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think.
You trying to make a movie.
I think for the ancestors, we deserve. Especially,
I feel you.
You know,
I get the point of him needing to be here. You know what I'm saying?
And especially with the talented people we already have here in Tulsa that aren't even making documentaries about the 1921 race riot, and we're gonna have LeBron James come and do it.
Brian
like,
James.
If he's gonna do it, he got to do it good and got to be here. That's all I gotta say.
I feel you.
But like, what he's done so far, he's literally built a school I think it was an elementary or a middle school. I'm not quite sure, but he has built a school, I think, strictly for black kids. And every kid that goes, they automatically get it. Then they're automatically going to graduate and I think get some type of scholarship into a college or something. I believe that's what it is. I'm not 100% sure. This happened a long time ago. Not like a long time ago, but like a couple years ago. And so... I can't say that I'm 100% sure.
He opened up a school. Yeah,
I remember it. I know that part, but I'm not 100% on how the scholarship thing works.
Oh, got you.
So,
got you.
We're going to take another quick little break. I got my girl Doja Cat, Say So, right here for you guys.
Don't look at me.
No, you don't look at me.
Hey, we still on.
I bet you had a moment. Why don't you say so? Didn't even know what punch you had to roll. You said to keep it focused. You wanna say so? Didn't have a moment. Keeping me in the moment. I bet you had a moment. Why don't you say so?
Keep it pushing while you beating around the bush and knowing you want all this woman.
All right, so that was Doja Cat, Say So. Mm-hmm. And so with the time we have left, it is a Juice Radio Show, and we're going to get right back into it. We're going to do our words of wisdom. So who would like to go first?
I'll go first, and I'll just say that my words of wisdom for this week for you guys is simply that, you know, sometimes good things fall apart so better things can fall together.
Love it.
That's very hard right there.
My words of wisdom, I don't know. I mean, I was just going to go back on what we were talking about today towards the end about, you know, the black businesses and stuff, and just kind of say to invest into yourself and invest in what you want to do, what your heart desires, like your vision, and just really invest in that and make it a reality.
I'll say the fight for equality and justice and reparations does not stop just because the streets are silent. That's all.
Read that in a post earlier this week.
I did. I'm going to say it again.
Okay.
That's cool. That's cool. My words of wisdom is everything happens for a purpose.
I think y'all got me beat. But mine would be, my words of wisdom would be to just do what you feel no matter what. You know what I'm saying? No matter, don't let anybody tell you what you can and can't do. You know, if your heart is telling you to do something, then do it. Follow your dreams and stick to it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, that's really just about it. That's all I got.
So before we end this, y'all, I need y'all to go to YouTube real quick and just put in your search button, Living Like TK, LIVINLIKETK, and watch those videos. You know, give me a view, a like, a comment, whatever you choose.
Don't you got like two or three videos?
Just support me, you know, give me some feedback, show me some love, and I will have more videos soon. But, yeah, just keep, you know, help me grow. Y'all help me grow.
Well, if that's the case, then, you know, after you watch her videos, then you can go ahead and hop on to that boy, Young Tiller.
I love it.
Y-U-N-G space T-I-L-L-E-R. And go ahead. Hit the like button, subscribe, all that. Watch all the videos on there.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
And so,
Go ahead then.
Y'all do y'all
Yeah, y'all should. After you watch TK and Tiller's videos, you should go to my video and type in Eden McKay, EDNMKAY. Yeah.
And so pretty much we saved the best for last. So yeah, my two favorite Careful Black Boy are on iTunes. Careful Black Boy Front Wings, check it out on iTunes on Mixtape Base in the West. Y'all know what the boy QB doing. Y'all know what the boy QB doing on the journey coming out this summer. What's up?
All right.
That's what's up, bro.
Later on down in this week, I'm gonna have a little surprise for y'all. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be something new for me. And so I'm gonna share it with you guys later on in the month of June. I'm excited for this. And I can't wait to share this news with everybody else when I know that it is official. But this is the Juice Radio Show, and we are out.
We love y'all. Stay black, black, blickety black,
stay black,
black.
Till next week. Stay tuned with us. Yes, with much one love.
One love.
Distance. It's made it clear that the best memories don't happen miles apart. They happen when we're...
Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist going nuts. Caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I tell you if it was us. Man, a house in Rosewood, it too plush. Say my day's a number, but I keep waking up. No, you see my text, baby, please say something. Wine by the glass, your man a cheapskate, huh? Gotta move off my release day, huh? This is fame, not clout. I don't even know what that's about. Watch your mouth.
Baby got an ego twice the size of the crib. I can never tell it, it is what it is. Said what I had to and did what I did. Never turn my back on FBG, God forbid. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist, doing front flips. Giving you my number, but don't hit me on no dump.
Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up. Virgil got a paddock on my wrist, going nuts. Caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I tell you if it was us. Man, a house in Rosewood, it too plush.
It's cool, man. Got red bottles on. Life is good. You know what I mean? Like,
$100,000 for the cheapest ring on the finger, little. Ooh. I done flew one out to Spain to be in my domain, automata. Dropped $3 on the rain, cause it's been a truck, look. Ooh. I was in the trap, serving cocaine, they ain't been the same since. Ooh. Granted, she was standing right there while I catch a play on the brick. Ooh. I made them look, go haywire, Taliban in this. Ooh. I'd have been down bad in them trenches, had to ride with that stick. Ooh. Who gave you pills, who gave that dust, Pluto Central on the lick. Ooh, too many convicts that enrolled me to play in this. Ooh, proud about nonsense, get old, so I'm spreading this. Ooh, they had the counter light lighting it up, anybody can get it. Ooh, I'm on a PJ lighting it up, backwood full of sticky. Ooh, I'm trying to tote that Draco in London, and it's extended. Ooh, they got a stretcher, how we gonna die for this? Ooh, yeah, I ride for my, I lied about it. Ooh, we some poor high class made it, we rich, yeah. I was at the band though, got a penthouse for a closet. Ooh, it's like a shando, lit on my neck, my wrist. Ooh, I got pink toes that talk different languages. Ooh, got promethazine in my blood and purpose it. $100,000 for the cheapest ring on the finger, look. Ooh, I done flew one out to Spain to be in my domain and automata. Ooh, dropped $3 on the rain, cause it's been the truck, look. Ooh, I was in the trap serving cocaine, they ain't been the same since. That's by the time I call a Serene. I go tremendo for new fettuccine. All fat though, carry the pinky. All fat though, we bought up the Fiji. I'm in the loop with the woo. I'm in the loop with the woo. Which one you working? I put your face to the news. I put the on the shirt. After I merged it, make me go shoot up the hearse. House smell quarter.